skin so gorgeous. We thank the life gorgeous.
Thank the life gorgeous. I love the life gorgeous. Its torso is so tight.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Life Gorgeous. My name is Craig Kilborn, and it is a glorious day. This is where I share my magical life in hopes of improving your life. It's a magical day because we have a repeat guest, one of my favorite guests, America Likes Us Together. Her name is Michelle Beadle. Let's bring her in here in studio right now. Put your hands together, Michelle Beadle. Nice to see you.
Amazing.
Don't take this wrong. You're so perky. Does that bother you?
Well, it's all fake. So no, it doesn't bother me at all. Once I go into road rage. There's all kinds of bad things that happen.
Do you sit in your closet without the camera and just go into a deep depression?
Question everything.
Yes, question life. I'm going to start with something odd with you. So you did the ABC, what was it called? Game Time? Was it called NBA Game Time?
NBA Countdown.
Countdown.
Yeah.
You did that for how many years?
I think it was 3 seasons.
Oh, it seems like you did it longer. You made a big impact on us all.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I can say this. When I left CBS in 2004, I did get a lot of interest offers. Different things, obviously. I shouldn't say obviously. I'm trying to be humble as I can be, but the NBA liked me, David Stern and Adam Silver, and they wanted me to do the countdown show on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't interested. But what if? Listen to this. I'm a fan of yours. What if we co-hosted that together? Wait a second. Two blondes. Do you think America could handle two blondes?
No.
Two blondes.
No, not yet. It's got to recycle. Like, it's too much right now.
I mean, that would have been so funny to see.
Oh, can you imagine? Would we still have had, I mean, look, if Paul's there, golden. Chauncey, yeah, I feel like you'd have, as long as the players are fun,
right.
We're golden. You can't have boring. And now they've got like Richard Jefferson and JJ Redick, like guys that are just saying whatever they want, which is great for TV.
So yeah, the thing is, I just honestly, I know this sounds, I mock myself kind of on Instagram. I do this, whatever it's called, self-absorption. But I do think we can't control the way we look. And
no.
You're a beautiful woman, but I'm this blonde guy. And I just think it's a little comical the way I look. Letterman called me a pretty boy. And I just think it would look too silly to see two blondes sitting at the countdown desk courtside.
You know what? You're right. Like, if you think about how television is put together now, whether it's a local newscast or a national broadcast, it's very purposely done so that there's contrast. And yeah, I can't think of a show where it's like just two blonde people.
Right. That's why it would be very funny.
Maybe entertainment. Maybe the entertainment, like Juliana Rancic and Ryan Seacrest. That might have been the last of those days.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I used to say I don't look like my sarcasm, my personality. I should look more like, I think I said Clive Owen or some dark-haired guy.
That's a good one.
And then if I'm drinking, I should look like Tommy Lee Jones, you know. But anyway.
I mean, he's a bad tipper, by the way. Notoriously bad tipper in these parts. Yeah.
How would you know that?
Because he's from here or lives around here in San Antonio. And I waited tables like everyone waited tables at some point. And yeah, he has a reputation of not being a great tipper, which I feel like at this point in the game, you're allowed to out that because that's a bad trait.
Yeah, he's old enough where you can say that. That's embarrassing. Fine. That's embarrassing.
I know.
They don't call me 22% Kilborn for nothing. I wanted to ask you. So you're doing the Spurs broadcast, and I want you to tell me it's joyful. Do you enjoy it?
Actually, you know what's funny? I have enjoyed it. It's the second season. Obviously, 2 seasons in which the season will end on April 9th, which for San Antonio Spurs fans wasn't always the case. Quite frankly, it was amazing. But it's been, I've been a part of some broadcasts that were bad teams. Like when I don't remember what year it was when I was with the then New Jersey Nets, but they weren't good.
Right.
But it also wasn't fun. Like we had fun, the crew had fun, but the team wasn't as fun. This team, we have four 19-year-olds. I mean, it is, when I tell you, they are trying every single night. Yeah. They're in a lot of these games. They've been in a lot of them. It came down to like the last 5 minutes, fourth quarter. And I can't say that about everything else. So yeah, even though the record is what it is and season is what it is, I've genuinely loved it. Plus, to be honest, I'm reunited with people that I worked with like 20 something years ago. So it's been sort of like a family reunion and yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like a job. It's yeah. like, oh, I get to go to a game tomorrow. Cool.
When I worked in local TV in Monterey, obviously it was a beautiful market.
Nice.
I lived in Carmel, yeah. but I really liked local. And I also like being from Minnesota, and I connect with my Minnesota friends. And they, I do local radio there as a guest on Dan Barrero's show at Drive Time. And there's something, I'm really grateful that I did something nationally, but it is so relaxing to go back to Minnesota, go back to Carmel. I'm wondering if it's really relaxing for you after kind of dominating on the national scene. Well, you know, you're very successful. And then going back and just kind of kicking back and just having a blast.
Yeah, it's definitely... I have zero stress.
That's
I need to
I'm
say
sure.
that.
That's, yeah, exactly.
At this point in your life is a pretty lucky thing to say out loud. So yeah, I don't really have any stress. It was part of the whole, let's just do the things we want to do moving forward. And I made that decision, I guess now 2 years ago. So they make it easy. And it's, even if things go horribly wrong, like it doesn't matter. Like we're all having a blast. Everyone knows that this is just sports. Like it is what it is. Right. Nobody died. So yeah, it's, and you know, Pop, I get to see Pop, and Pop is a polarizing figure to most of the country. But for me, he's Pop, and to see him and get to talk to him, I cherish this. This is a cool way to sort of return home.
He has a personality. He's, I've never met him. I'm one of those guys. I don't have to meet these people, but I already know if I did, how cool they are. I mean, some of them might be disappointed to me and they might be in a bad mood, but I think I told you last time I was a couple of years back, I was drinking, having a red wine at a bar it's a restaurant that's closed. It's called Bouchon, but they have the main one is up in Yountville and up in Napa area.
Oh yeah. Delish.
And I said to the bartender, he was a guy, and I said, I always test if they know Hooper or anything. I said, I'll have a Pinot like Popovich. He likes Pinot Popovich. And he goes, Greg Popovich, he was just in here the other day. I think I told you the story. I think I told you about it. I said, oh, was it business or pleasure? He goes, well, he had just signed LaMarcus Aldridge. This was a couple of years back. He was in the summertime and he came to LA. He just signed LaMarcus Aldridge. So I guess it was business. I go, what was he like? He just said, he asked me my name. And I said, my name's Jim. And he goes, hi, I'm Pop. I just love hearing that. I don't know if it's
true. I love that.
Yeah, hi, I'm Pop. So you know, I just love, so he seems like, I know he loves red wine. Have you shared red wine with him?
No, he has been. So I learned some stuff this year. We were on a monster road trip, actually a few of them, but he has a carry-on size suitcase that on each road trip goes on there, and that's got the good wine in it. Oh. And I'm like, man, if I could just get my hands on that bag. It's like there's one guy whose whole job it is to make sure that that bag gets on the airplane and off the airplane. And it's been fun. I mean, he's been so brutally honest this year with questions. I mean, when we were in New York, we lucked out where we had a day off in between Brooklyn and the Knicks, which is, you know, a dream come true. So he basically ate like four meals a day. And all he wanted to talk about in all the press conferences was like where he ate, what's he going to do tomorrow, how many miles he walked.
Right.
It's just like, it's, yeah, he, it's been fun. I think if it wasn't for the kids, like maybe he would have quit by now, but
right.
Watching him with the kids has been, that's why when people ask, is he quitting? I was like, I don't think so. I think he's genuinely having a good time. Whether or not you believe me, so be it. But that's what I see on a nightly basis. So it's kind of cool.
I met Chris Finch, the coach of the Timberwolves, actually had dinner with him a few weeks ago when they were right before they beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
I said, you got those three teams. You got the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Pistons. He goes, the Spurs are going to get them. The Spurs are going to get them. What do you... Is that, so I want to ask you, is that the vibe down there? Is that the vibe in San Antonio?
I think people are probably hopeful. I mean, we've been in this situation before, right before Duncan got here.
Right.
It was sort of like that moment. And that was an obvious franchise changing draft. But it's funny with the Wembanyama thing. I personally start to get a little nervous. Like when they come out with these new heights, like he's 7'5" or whatever.
Right.
It makes me a little bit nervous inside because that is a very tall man with not a lot of meat,
yeah.
But he's obviously a kid as well. So there's room for change there. But yeah, I mean, look, part of being not one of the best teams in the league is you hopefully get a good player as a result of that.
Right.
And so, I mean, if it's out of the three of us, I certainly hope it's us. Yes.
Yeah. I would want him to go to, I guess, Detroit to keep the West not as tough for my Timberwolves, but that's how.
No, we don't want him to go to Detroit.
I know.
That's not fun for any of us.
But I did like Detroit back in the day. I did like
them
with Chauncey and those guys and Larry
they
Brown.
Were tough.
And oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. I did. I love that.
The finals against the Lakers. That was the Laker team with Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Oh, God.
And the Pistons won in five games, but they played this clip where Larry Brown was mic'd up, and they played this clip, and then they said Phil Jackson played it for the team the next day. And Larry Brown says to his team, they're not guarding anybody. We can get any shot we want.
God, that's awesome. You just die for that clip
right
now.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
That's good.
I laughed so hard. I had an issue with that Laker team. I do think that the Showtime Lakers might be the greatest team of all time. And I say that not as a fan, just being an observer.
Yeah.
I'd rather say the Larry Bird Celtics, but I think it bothers me that everyone thought the 90s, the Bulls, the Jordan Bulls were so great. They were, but I don't think they were as good as the Celtics and the Lakers, but we don't have to get into that, Michelle.
No, but I get it. Like I'm 47. So for me, that Chicago Bulls team was really where I just started, like where I began to love basketball and became a fan. So I think you're getting into that weird age thing where it sort of tells somebody when they started watching basketball,
yeah.
When they say Michael Jordan, that's why.
You don't look 47. And you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that, by the way.
Well, I feel like that argument will go on for the rest of our lives, obviously.
Yes.
Who's the best, what's the best, whatever. But I do think now that I've been having that argument for a couple decades, it's like, all right, let me just tell you where I'm coming from before you come at me with all your stuff, because you're never going to change anyone's mind. So it's their memory.
We're going to talk food in a second, but because you mentioned your age, I'm just going to transition into this for a second. Not that it, I follow you on Instagram, and I noticed a tattoo on your delicate foot.
Oh yes.
What
do I have on my foot?
Yes.
Oh, it's not good. It's not a good one.
Is it a little rose or what is that?
Every tattoo has a story on me. Most of them are stupid and not all these tattoos are great. They look like prison tattoos, but that one is this weird heart when I was in Key West and was like, it's probably time to get another tattoo. And I went in there and the thing is, once it got done, I mean, it's not good. My friend was like, it looks like the Jane Seymour, like, whatever it is, jeweler's heart. And I was like, oh my God, it does. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's there forever.
Okay, so how old were you when you got that one?
Oh God. I mean, my first one, I think I was 30. And so this one is way after that. So yeah, I was a late bloomer on everything. I got my ears pierced when I was 30. I did everything like 30 on. So it's at least maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Okay. I'm going to come back to the tattoos. I just want to admit that when I was living in Venice Beach in the late 80s, I had my left ear pierced and I had a hoop earring. I had very long hair.
Of course.
And kind of like Borg when Borg played in the 70s. Oh. And I had a hoop earring and I would go down to Venice Beach and dunk on the fellas. I think I can say fellas. And with a hoop earring. And it was just a wonderful part of being a young 23-year-old kid with hops.
Oh, yeah. On the beach. I mean, can you beat that? No, not really.
That was very, yeah, it was an exciting time for me. Now, so how many tattoos is the obvious question? Does Michelle Beadle have? You have nine.
Yeah.
And I think it's nine. I asked my friend, now this is, I don't think I have to be delicate here. There's a, there was a girl, I was talking to a buddy of mine and I said, so, because I don't pay attention to things like the term, the tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Is there a location for the tramp stamp? Is that the lower back of a woman?
That is the lower back. It's okay. Basically when people were wearing low rise jeans, okay. But I do not have one there.
Okay.
I never did. Yeah.
And did you think about that for a long time, not having one? Were you tempted to have one there, or did you say, my Catholic upbringing, I can't do that?
Yeah, that was it. That's what got me. No, I think by the time I got my first tattoo, I was very aware of what a tramp stamp was. So purposely, I was like, I mean, there's a part of you that wants to get an ironic, like a dolphin and a peace sign, all the dumb stuff that people get all the time.
Right.
But yeah, at this point, I was like, no, I'm not touching that area. There's enough space that I don't need to put one there.
Okay.
So it worked out.
And what is the, for a guy who's never thought about having a tattoo, what's the logic of having a tattoo? What's the reason for doing it?
Great question. It's the one thing I will say, like they always tell you when you get your first one, you'll get another. And I always thought, oh, whatever. I think it is true. There's like a fun to it for me. There's no, I don't plan them. I think I maybe have planned one once because I like told my friend I'd go with her. And so I'd get one. Usually it's just a tattoo shop. It's open. Let's go in.
So, are you sober when you do it?
Most of the time. Yeah. Or if anything, I've had a couple drinks, but I'm never drunk enough that I wake up and go, oh God, I don't even know I did that. No, not even close.
But, and then when you go in, when you haven't planned it, do you just, oh, there's a tattoo shop. Do you know what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
not
want
always.
Do you want an anvil or barbed wire?
Yeah,
or
like some tribal thing?
I mean, what are your, besides the Jane Seymour heart, what do you have?
God, stop it. I have like my first one was a beetle, which I got done in Hawaii, which
sense.
I love. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So I've got some writing. I guess the writing, so like this one's not today, which was done basically right after I left ESPN. And I was like, I'm done. Not today. I don't want to hear from anybody anymore. Don't tell me about anything. Like, it's like, not today. Which is tricky.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have
no, they didn't dot, dot, dot it.
No, I'm saying that old thing on ESPN, dot, 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 dot. Like there was a t-shirt that I had from ESPN that had D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A, dot, 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 dot.
Awesome.
This is Sports Center. Nothing
That's
like
perfect.
That.
No, nothing like that. Nothing.
I love Boomer.
Nothing. Can you imagine? No. No, nothing company related in a good way.
Okay. Well, that's I don't do the ink. It's a different
Don't do it.
I have no desire to do it.
It's a good pain, by the way. That's I think part of people getting addicted.
Right.
It's like a weird zzz pain that's quick.
Can I just get a massage from somebody?
Yeah,
instead?
Yeah, you could definitely just do that.
Maybe
instead.
Say deep tissue, it hurts enough. I got a bad lower back. All right.
That's fair.
So we're moving on. I want to go back to Italian food because we talked Italian food last time and I like it because you're pretty smart about it. You have good insights. And you, of course, for the people listening, we went over Michelle's history. She was born in Italy and she goes back and you scoff at people who choose chicken parm as their favorite dish because that's not really an Italian dish. It's an Americanized version, right?
Yeah. Yeah. People love it. I mean, look, I get it. It's not bad. It's not like I'm saying it's bad. It's just not real. That's all.
I want to run a few things I like by you and tell me what you think. But before I do that, do you cook?
No. God, no.
I think I asked you that last time. And I think I would have remembered if you said, yeah, I can cook.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where I once in a blue moon, I'll follow a recipe and then I'll be like, why did I just waste 2 hours of my life?
So when you're in San Antonio and you're not on the road, how many days a week do you eat out?
I it's funny because I'm a little deprived now. I mean, I was very spoiled for the last 20 years living in New York and then LA because delivery options are endless.
Right.
So I don't have that as much anymore. I have to be more aware, like picking food up. But mostly everything I eat is coming from some version of a restaurant or a store. So yeah, I'm not preparing much. If anything, I'll make like an egg taco with avocado for breakfast. That's about as far as it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoy cooking. I don't find it that difficult, but I enjoy it and I do a lot of it. And
that's good.
So I used to make fun of people who wouldn't even put forth the effort, but I'm not going to make fun of you today.
I've tried. I have put an effort. Right. I just realize it's not worth it for me.
So the other day I bought burrata, which I don't ever buy burrata. I just order it at the restaurants because they have it all the time.
Yep.
And I bought burrata and I just had it very simple with red onions, tomatoes, basil from my garden. That's correct. Yes. I have a garden.
Yep.
And balsamic and olive oil. What are your thoughts on burrata?
I love burrata. I would love to learn how to make it. I feel like that would be one of those things where next time I go to Italy, maybe I take a class or something just for the fun of it. But it's the most perfect piece of cheese. Yeah. It's got all the texture. You can put it with anything. It's light. I had some the other night in Boston and it was amazing. Yeah. So yeah, burrata, chef's kiss, can't go wrong.
Yeah. There's a place over here. They have it's called Osteria Mama. No, excuse me. Osteria Mozza. Osteria Mama.
Oh yeah. I know that place.
That's on Highland. That's Nancy Silverton. Extremely popular, successful.
Love that.
And for those of you listening, Osteria Mama is down on Melrose towards Larchmont. but Osteria Mozza has a burrata bar, I believe they call it. But they have so many choices. So they'll have it like 10 different versions of it, you know, with pears. The one that I go crazy over, they have one with horseradish cream.
Ooh.
And but there are other things with it. It might be prosciutto or something else, but they have a lot of different things with it. But one of them is with horseradish cream, or at least they used to have that. And it's delightful.
I try that. I like both those things.
And remind me, you did give me a dish last time I said favorite Italian dish. It was it had boar's meat.
Oh yeah.
What was that?
Pappardelle con cinghiale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, still my favorite.
That's advanced.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not making that.
No, but they serve that everywhere.
No, they don't. It's weird. I just was at an Italian place in Boston the other day, and they had it. And I was like, oh, you have to get it if it's on the menu. It's that, and then there's another pasta called Nudi, which is G-N-U-D-I, which is never on menus either. But it is rarely. And if that's on there, get that as well.
Right.
It's like dessert. It's so good. But yeah, wild boar, not the most beautiful animal to look at, but delicious when made into a sauce.
Well, olive oil and garlic, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so good.
I do like linguine con vongole.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
One of my favorites.
And you can make that one. That one's actually, as long as you have fresh seafood, you're good.
I've made it and I buy a little clam juice jar and I make it. And I love Parmesan cheese sprinkled over it. And you have red pepper flakes in there. I just love it. And I don't eat a lot of pasta because Kreger's doesn't do too many carbs, but I do like that. Here's my go-to one, not necessarily as an entree. I don't know how healthy it is, but I know it's not carbs. So I love lasagna, but I go eggplant parm, no carbs.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. That's
a
good one.
Well, I say healthy because I think oftentimes they will deep fry it and then they'll bake it. They'll layer it up with the tomato sauce and cheese and bake it. Sometimes they will eschew the frying and just bake it. And I prefer that.
I actually prefer it baked, to be honest. I mean, look, I get it. It is delicious when it's fried, but it's not necessary to make that delicious to fry it. So yeah, I'm with you on that. And it does sort of like, if you're craving lasagna and you are trying to avoid massive carbs, I think it's a pretty decent substitute.
Yeah,
it does the trick.
I love bolognese.
I'm hungry. I know.
I'm going to have to go out tonight. Bolognese. I like pappardelle. Pappardelle.
Yep.
Bolognese.
Good. Yep. That's delicious. Also an easy sauce to make technically. I mean, I hear.
Relatively. Okay. I just thought of something. I was going to tell you this next thing I like Italian, but I worked at an Italian restaurant in the late 80s in Santa Monica. It used to be called Papa Louis. The guy was from Buffalo and he opened a place called Papa Louis. And now it's the ale house. It's across from across from the Circle Bar.
Oh,
which is a dive bar.
Yeah, like a dive, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. But I met my buddy there recently at the ale house. I had never been, and I went in there about a month ago. And I said to the bartender lady, I said, "This used to be Papa Louis, back in the late 80s. She goes, I've heard of that. A couple came in and they got, he proposed here at Papa Louie's, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, let me tell you who I waited on. And she didn't know two of the three. I want to see, you're 47. We don't have to broadcast your age.
I don't care. It's on the internet.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So the only one she knew was Magic Johnson, obviously.
Okay, obviously.
Bert Convy.
Wait, I don't know that name.
I just loved it. He hosted game shows. Bert Convy. He hosted
game shows. By the way, that sounds like a game show host.
He's a good looking guy. Perfect. Norman Fell.
Is that who I think it is?
The actor?
Yeah.
The old man who was on Three's Company?
Yeah, upstairs, the neighbor.
Yeah. The landlord.
Yes, the landlord.
Norman Fell. I waited on him. I was like 22, 23. And you know who I am?
No, he didn't. He did that. Oh, no.
Yeah. Get me some Chianti. I bring up Papa Louie's because I hadn't eaten a lot of Italian growing up in Minnesota. We had bratwurst boiled in beer. But I had never had, until I was 23 years old, at Papa Louie's, pesto sauce.
Mm.
Which I love. They had a pesto ravioli. Are you kidding
me? You grow basil, so you could technically make
pine nuts, the whole thing.
It's good. Pesto's good. And you don't need a lot. Like, a little goes a long way with pesto. It's delicious. I love pesto. Italian food's the best because it's simple. It's like 3-4 ingredients max.
Yeah.
That's why if I was going to cook, I'd probably stick with Italian because it's doable. I don't know. Some of the other ones I can't even muster.
I'm going
to
tell you something that bores me. Gnocchi.
Interesting. I mean, it's not my first choice.
Yeah. It just seems like too heavy,
yeah,
too thick. If I'm going to have, but maybe because I'm adverse to pasta in general because of the carbs, I go into places that I hope I'm not embarrassing myself. Sir, do you guys have a gluten-free pasta? And they say, we have it. So I have, because I just, I try not to.
Can you tell?
Yeah, I'm very, Michelle, I have 4.5% body fat. I'm very slender.
But we're only going to live once.
I eat so much cheese. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay. You're making it up. Good.
Yeah.
I would hate to think you were depriving.
I've been eating a lot of gluten-free pizzas that you can buy at Sprouts.
Are they good?
Well, there's one called Milton and it has uncured pepperoni on it.
Oh.
But it's the crust is really good, but it says that there's cheese in the crust. So
it says there's cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it. I just like the way the crust feels, but that says, ingredient says there's cheese in the crust and it's really good.
I'm in on that. A pizza. I just drove through New Haven this last week and stopped by Pepe's, which I don't remember if you ever had that.
Heard of Pepe's.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. That's a good pizza. I'm like, all right, that was worth it. That was worth the drive.
I've written down, I just like running these things by you to see your reactions. I like bone-in pork chops.
Okay, so here's my thing with pork. I stopped eating, other than wild boar, because that doesn't count. I stopped eating it like 3 years ago.
Good for you.
But don't get me wrong. I love a pork chop. I would inhale bacon, prosciutto, all those things. I just stopped because something about pigs, and they were adorable, and I couldn't do it anymore. It's weird.
Well,
I know it's a hypocrite thing. No,
it's interesting because my brother, who's very disciplined and has a body beautiful and more muscular than I am, more of a fitness freak than I am. I ordered pulled pork at a Mexican restaurant, and he said, Craig, that pork is the least regulated meat in the United States. Just so you know. So he tells me those kind of things. So I thought you were doing it because you think it might be unhealthy, but
No, I just do it because they're cute and smart. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, That's an interesting nugget of information.
But if you have Nyman Ranch, then it's fine.
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. Look at your brothers like pooping on your.
I know. I had.
Oh, pork's delicious.
I was eating. I don't have a sweet tooth, but years ago I was eating a mud pie at this restaurant. He goes, there's a lot of buttercream in that. A lot of fat in that. So he was telling me these things. So we don't go out to eat anymore together. No.
I would not be able to. No, there's no, if my brother did that every time we ate, there's no way I would eat meals with him. Forget it. It's great though.
I wanted to ask you, we're recording this. I'm jumping back to the hoops now because we did a lot on food. And I was proud of myself for not asking you where all your tattoos were, because I think that's kind of, you know.
They're in the general like torso area. Only some you can see. A couple wrist ones, right. But yeah.
Is it tough? Watch me go 10 more minutes on this. Is it tough to decide the location?
It's tough in the sense of, you know, if you want to put it in a place where you can definitely hide it at all. Like, I don't want to wear a beautiful gown and then have like this whole arm thing, right? Like, that's a thing I thought about. But it's funny. The only one that ever really hurt was if you get one on your side, like the rib, it touches the ribs. That one probably was the only one that I ever sort of winced at. But most places, you got enough skin, you're good. You're good to go.
Why didn't you do it in your 20s? Why did you?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I think I was just a late bloom. I mean, I didn't have my first sip of alcohol until I was 21. Like I just laid at everything, all things I was laid at. So it's like, then I just started to embrace life and you're kind of out doing your own thing and your career is pretty good. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to do all the things I thought about doing. So
wait, did you go to a tattoo parlor in Bristol and get it?
I actually went into one, but I never got one there. It's funny because I was West Hartford, just driving through, and I was like, oh my God, there's that one place, but I never got one there.
Right.
But I would have. I mean, it wasn't, yeah, just for some reason, it never worked out that way. I definitely looked into it though.
I had this other tattoo question, but I was just trying to think. I know what it was. When you said you didn't start drinking until you were 21, that's admirable, by the way, first of all.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. But then that 21st birthday was a mess. It was a disaster.
And I always, I do talk about drinking in moderation on the Life Gorgeous podcast. And I try to encourage people because, you know, you gotta be careful. It's tricky. Mm. It's a fine line. And I also have friends that are clean and sober that I have great admiration for. So I always tell people, don't chase the night, get to bed, have a meal.
Yeah.
That, I go to bed nice and early, but I do enjoy a martini every once in a while and my red wine. So what I wanted to tell you was this, I wanted to ask you and tell this also to the young people. So my father drank a martini just about every night, but I never saw him have two. He would just have one. I never saw him buzzed or anything. Very disciplined. I found out later when I was making them for him, we were in New Jersey and I was very young. And then in Minnesota, I would make them and I'd have the little dropper for vermouth. He had gin, but then as he got older, he had vodka martinis. And that's what I drink is vodka.
Same.
But here's the weirdest thing. His generation started smoking cigarettes when he was 17 and he quit when he was 34. Then he went to a pipe and then he went to cigar.
Okay.
So I don't do anything. I smoke cigars, but I don't really smoke them anymore. But drinking, this is weird. I didn't start drinking vodka until my 30s. So in my 20s, it was only beer and wine, mostly beer.
All right.
Did Michelle Beadle at 21, were you drinking hard liquor in your 20s?
On the birthday itself, like the actual 21st birthday, yes, there were shots of all kinds of disgusting things, which I have not, like, I can honestly tell you, the Goldschlagers of the world, I've not touched them since.
Right.
To be honest, I don't like the taste of most liquors and alcohols. That's why I love red wine because I think it tastes good.
Right.
I love a martini because when I'm in the mood, it tastes good.
Right.
But I'm not a big cocktail person. I wish I was. Like, I'll see people order these pretty little cocktails or have a scotch and I'm just like, oh, they look so cool. It just doesn't taste good.
Right.
If it tasted good, I probably would. But it doesn't.
Yeah. So, did you drink liquor then in your 20s?
I think it was mostly beer.
Okay.
Which is funny because now I don't know the last time I had a beer. I couldn't tell you.
Mine's been 10 or 12 years. I think I had one with a guy I was bonding with him a few years ago, but it was 12 or 15 years. That's how I lost a lot of weight. Is
the beer, right?
Yeah, I don't drink beer anymore. And even though I love it on a summer day with barbecue, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I got sick once in college when I had a screwdriver. That's orange juice, right? Gin. I had gin.
Yes.
So I don't drink gin, but I like the smell of gin. And this is sad. I could talk about this for way more longer than your tattoos. I could talk about drinking. I love the romance of the martini glasses, the shape beautiful. Of the martini glass, the ritual of the shaking, yep. ice cold. Oh, I just love it. I love it.
It's so cool. I was at this dinner a few days ago, and one of the guys at the table had never had a martini. Mm. So we all got to partake in somebody's very first martini, and it was just quite lovely. The experience was lovely to watch. I was like, it's like very expensive sweat. It's delicious and salty. And like, cause we got it dirty. I mean, obviously, but like it was just fun. I don't know that he loved it, but right. I also think sometimes the first martini's not the one that convinces you.
First martini I had, my brother and I had, we were up at a steakhouse in San Francisco. We go, let's be like dad and have a martini. We were in our 20s. They had too much vermouth in it. We thought it tasted like turpentine. We were like, this is gross. Maybe that's why I didn't start drinking vodka until my 30s. But,
yep,
but
you got scarred.
I have a couple beautiful points, and then we'll try to move on from this magic. Okay. Because I always think about the young people listening and telling them stuff. So espresso martinis are awful for you. All the drinks that have sugar in them. I used to drink gimlets, Rose's lime juice and vodka. So I just drink straight vodka, sometimes a little vermouth. I'll go with a twist. Sometimes I'll go olives. If they have hand-stuffed cheese, blue cheese olives, I do that, which are magical. Most women, I remember when, you know, years ago when I was dating, they would all like dirty martinis. They always like dirty martinis. But I will say in my 30s, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, single malt scotch. I would have one ice cube and I'd have the Oban or the Macallan or the Laphroaig or the Lagavulin 16. And it was my go-to thing. And I said to my dad, I called him, I said, I like vodka, but this scotch. He goes, well, there's something magical about scotch, son, because there are more flavors. If you smell scotch, it's magical.
Different.
But I don't drink it much anymore. Maybe at the holidays because I feel it the next day. With vodka, I can go play full court down in Venice and dunk on the fellas or finger roll now on the fellas.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no reason to embarrass people.
No, vodka, I feel like is a very, because you can do so much with it, and vodka soda with lot, like that's just an easy, if you're at a concert, boom, done. You don't have to think about it. Like to me, it's an easy one, but I just, as long as it doesn't taste overly like alcohol, then it's delicious. Right. I had a lemonade once at a Houston Texans game that they made with Tito's vodka that you never tasted. It was the most delicious lemonade I ever had. Dangerous because you didn't taste it, but you know, like 6 later, you're like, whoops. That's not smart. Don't do that, kids. But yeah, it's like that's a good drink, I think, when they disguise it.
I don't like flying. I don't like airplanes. No. I don't like flying. But when I used to fly, it's the only time I would drink Bloody Marys because I wanted some substance, but I wanted a little vodka in there. But I rarely will have a Bloody Mary on land when I'm walking around in a bar. When I'm in an airplane, I will go Bloody Mary.
God, you're right. I forget. I mean, I've been flying a lot lately and I forget that to order a Bloody Mary. I'm such a bad flyer and I get very nervous.
Right.
So I have like a whole ritual and things I have to do and pills I have to take and like, here we go.
Oh,
but
really?
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Bloody Mary. Next one I'm doing Bloody Mary.
So you do, you have to take pills?
Yeah, I've taken Xanax. It's the only time I take anything because it's awful. I tried to fly once my whole life without it. Right. And I had an actual panic attack where I needed an oxygen take. So that was it. I didn't try again.
So you're on the team playing, right?
Yeah.
And then the media people and the coaches are in the back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And is there, I think I was asking some of the coaches this. So the players, they are not allowed to drink on the plane most of the time, correct?
Correct. Yeah. As far as I know, also they're all 19. So on our plane, no, especially.
Right. And then you guys can drink in the back or not?
No, not really. No, we don't really have alcohol. I know the coaches sometimes have brought it. I know on the Nets plane back in the day when Lawrence Frank was a coach, he would sneak me back like a solo cup with a little bit of wine in it. And I was always very grateful for that. But yeah, no, for the most part, not really. They don't really, it's like very professional. Now they eat like pigs.
Yeah.
Like Now, the amount of food that's on one of these flights, even if it's just a 2-hour flight, is insane to me. I love it.
I heard that they have they have a lot of chefs and they always have food. They're refueling.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Anthony Edwards still has his Popeye's chicken. He loves Popeye's, but he's being disciplined this year. and he's learning.
And it's showing. Like, oh. That's the good news. He has played every game. Like, he is the hope for the future as far as the old school mentality. I enjoy him.
He's amazing sometimes. Yes, I'm a fan. He does things besides getting to the rim in traffic. Sometimes he hits his mid-range jump shot, and the announcers say, we're not saying he's Jordan, but that's kind of what Jordan did. You know?
Okay, I like that. That's a good way to announce it.
All right, we're moving now towards the end. It's called the Life Gorgeous Quiz. Simple questions, profound insights.
They're not going to be simple, but I'm ready.
I'm just happy we didn't tarnish this broadcast with talking about your love of hair bands. I heard you say concert, and I just moved off of that.
Well, funny you should say, because Def Leppard just put out a new album today where it's their old classics with a symphony in accompaniment instead. Oh, mind blown. I haven't even heard it yet.
Editing that out of the broadcast.
Okay, the
podcast broadcast. Okay. I don't know if you got this note from me, and it's okay if you didn't. Top three favorite current actors.
Yes. I'm glad you said current.
Because I don't want to do the old, you know, Cary Grant. I mean, those are my favorites. Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant. But current actors, I actually wrote down a couple. I love to say, but I'm going to let you go first, obviously.
Okay. First. So it's not going to be necessarily, I'm doing this based on who I will always watch a project of, no matter what it is. Like, so for me, the first for men and women is Julia Roberts and George Clooney. I will watch every single both of those human beings put out, no matter what.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're very likable.
You want them to be a couple, but it's okay that they're not. Right. They both have great smiles. Their movies are pretty much mostly entertaining. So it's an easy one for me.
Okay.
Okay. Am I doing all three?
I was going to what do you think is more entertaining? I was going to have you do all three. Should we alternate?
Yeah, I think we should alternate.
Okay. So I also, so you want me to name an actor and an actress?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is no particular order, but I love to say this. There are obviously movie stars out there, but there's an actor that I find interesting who is a TV star.
Okay.
James Spader.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like him.
He also goes back to the 80s movies that were also good.
Right. Yeah. And then the actress that I like is Cate Blanchett.
Also good one.
Yeah, she was in a movie called, I was talking with my friend Alex Sulkin last week, Blue Jasmine, a Woody Allen movie. She's very good. And she was in Aviator with Leo DiCaprio. And she's my favorite. Okay, so James Spader and Cate Blanchett. Go ahead.
That's a good one. I was like, ooh, now I'm trying to think about it. Okay, so this one, again, it's very hit or miss for this man. But when it's on, it is so on. So I'm going to go with Nicolas Cage. He's had some real stinkers. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
Some money, some cash grabs. But he's also had some really entertaining movies. And then on the female side, I feel like it gets a little bit tougher for me, but I might go a little bit older school here. I love Olivia Colman.
Oh,
who's
wow.
Also, she's on TV too, so she can do everything.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She's
on is that yours?
She's on my list.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good overlap.
Well, somebody just showed me the show Peep Show, like an old British show.
Yeah.
And she was young in that start. So I just, her range is, I love her.
She was in one of my favorite miniseries, or it was a 6-part series called The Night Manager with Hugh Laurie and Tom Hiddleston, and she was amazing. So she is on my list. And just a comment on Nick Cage. I believe there are people that dislike him or don't take him seriously. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Yeah, because he's had some weird things in his personal life. But you know what? That's
fine. I think I've only seen two of his movies.
And in total?
Yeah, I think. Oh, I'm going to name them. But one of them, I always tell people to watch because I think it's underrated. Matchstick Men.
Yep.
With Sam Rockwell. That's a good movie.
Also good.
And then is it called The Rock? Is that the one up?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in that one.
About Alcatraz?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's like a classic, like, big Nick Cage movie.
Right.
Big one. Sean Connery. Yeah, I can't beat it.
Oh, I just noticed something. This is bizarre.
Ooh, Sean Connery's a good one, too.
Yeah. So I just noticed my second actor and my second actress, but it's kind of weird that they're married. I didn't notice they were married because I did it in a weird order because there are a lot of different actors I could say. I'm kind of, you know, I'm saying Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz.
Ooh, good ones. That's a good one. Yeah, they are married, huh?
Yeah.
And still married. Oh, that's good for them. Beating the odds. Yeah. that's a good one. I mean, he's obviously forever going to be James Bond for a lot of us.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yes.
He's great. He's great.
Yeah, that movie's trippy. Yeah. I mean, the book was trippy. Yes. So yeah.
Well, that's a movie I can watch over and over again. I mean, I have to fast forward through some scenes that are too violent, but I love the vibe and the energy. Why are you laughing? You think I sound like a wussy or what?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I slow-mo in the violence. I'm like, ooh, let's watch that again.
That's a joke,
that's
correct?
Maybe. oh, that's okay. You know what's funny is I feel like my life right now is mostly, when I watch anything, it's mostly TV.
Right.
So it's like that. Those are the actors that are just swimming around in my mind. So I'm thinking of like the guys from Succession and Pedro Pascal and all those people. But it's weird how when you asked me this question originally, I immediately went to movies, and I don't really need to do that. However, oh, my third and final man and woman, I kind of want to do TV here, but this guy did both. And I also think he does projects that are hella entertaining. So give me Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I just think it's you, and not Forrest Gump, because I don't really like that movie. And then on the female side, I think I'm gonna go. This is tough for me because it's like I like actresses, but I know they're not very good. I just think they bring a lot to the table. You know what? No, I'm gonna go a great actress, Frances McDormand.
Oh, she's great. She's tremendous.
And it's because I just watched Fargo again. I was like, oh God, she was so good in that.
Yeah, I know. I know I'm forgetting people. And I, just to let you know, I refused to watch Forrest Gump for years. And then I finally watched it. I relented, but I didn't watch it. But I obviously think he's brilliant in a lot of other things.
So good.
And she's brilliant. My actress, I already mentioned Olivia Colman. And there are other people. I could have said Judi Dench,
That's a good one, too.
And then the actor, I could go the obvious. I do like Leo. I apologize.
Are you kidding? You know? It's an IMDb page that people would kill for.
And then, but I could do a TV guy named Titus Welliver because I watched Bosch. You ever seen that show?
That's what it, oh my God. I was just talking about this the other day. That's so random. As soon as you said that name, I was like, why do I know that name right now? That's crazy.
Do you watch Bosch or not?
No, I've been told to, like just told to recently.
You know, it's the first original series on Amazon. He's an LA cop.
Yes.
It was on for, I think, 8 seasons. Now it's called Bosch Legacy, and now he's a private detective. But they say it's the most real, the LAPD says it's the most realistic cop show.
Oh, wow.
But it's not like, you know, Succession is white collar. This is more blue collar, but it's great. He's great. He has a great voice. And they shoot around, you know, Formosa Cafe, Musso and Frank.
I like that.
They shoot all over in the famous place, Dantana's, all that kind of thing. So
it's the Michael Connelly books, right? Like that is correct.
Yeah. That is correct.
I'm in on that. It's entertaining. That's crazy. It's been 48 hours since someone told me to watch Bosch. Yeah. So well done. And I'm going to have to now.
Yeah, I just started rewatching it, even though I take breaks, you know, and I start rewatching things and stuff. I still haven't finished The Sopranos.
What?
I never watched it when it was on, and now I'm in season 5 or 6, and I take my time. I got to watch The Wolves. Wolves win, I watch the fourth quarter over coffee the next morning.
That's a whole nother day.
We lost to the Spurs this year. It's just, we're very streaky. It's very
random. People have lost to us this year. It's weird.
Did you guys just beat Boston or who?
No, we beat Denver.
I beat Denver
last weekend, which was shocking to me. Like,
I did have an NBA question. It's because last night we lost at home to Boston and the refereeing was awful. Everyone freaked out. And by the way, did you see, you didn't see the end of that game. You should not have seen the end of the game.
No, we had a game.
So we're down 2, and we force a jump ball, and it's Rudy jumping against, I can't remember the guy's name. He's off their bench. He's a forward. And the guy steals the jump before it gets to its apex, and Al Horford moves as the ball is tossed. They don't call this. And they get the ball, and they win, and they get the ball, and they get the free throws. And then we have 1.6 left. We're down 4. And then Ant says something and gets a technical and gets tossed. And then slow-mo gets tossed with 1.6 left. The refs were just out of control.
Yeah, that's not good.
So does when you're there with the games, do you get mad at the refs when you know they're just they've lost their temper and they're just what they said last night? Jim Pete said they're handing out technicals like Tic Tacs. They're just handing them out.
It's weird because some games are like that. You're just like, I have no idea why that whistle was just blown, especially with technicals, because it's so it's a human thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't love it. For me, a technical needs to be obvious. Like,
right.
You have to be just completely kind of over the top or do something stupid with the ball, whatever. I don't like it when nobody knows what just happened.
Right.
And there's been a couple of those, especially in the last few weeks, weirdly enough, when these are the games that are the most fun to watch and everybody's really trying. I don't like to see that. I feel like technicals should be saved. But then there are some guys that are just magnets for technicals, like the Dylan Brooks and Draymond and Luke and Luca. Like, that's their thing.
Those guys are crazy. We got to hustle. We have 2 minutes, but you just reminded me of something. Okay. Favorite, Michelle Beadle, any sport, favorite all-time athlete. I think I know who you're going to say. Favorite all-time athlete, any sport.
Oh, you know what? It might shock you, actually.
Okay, it does then. It's not who I thought it was.
It's Pelé.
Oh, good for you.
But it's for like family reasons. And my mom, and she grew up watching soccer. And then we had him on like early on Sports Nation days. We had blown away by every single thing about him. Just that was a global icon.
I like how you say it. I say Pelé, you say Pelé.
Pelé.
Okay.
Pelé.
So I thought you were going to say somebody. And we were talking about technicals. The guy who laughed in Joey Crawford game he laughed on the bench and Joey Crawford throws him out of the game. I mean,
that was a Timmy D moment.
That was like a ref completely has anger management issues.
Oh, I mean, it's to this day when the name Joey Crawford's brought up, it's an immediate Tim Duncan. Do they go together? There's no separation at all.
But I thought you would say Duncan was your favorite because he put San Antonio on the map.
He did, and his personality for me is just killer. Like, I know a lot of people don't get it. I find it to be endearing and charming and hilarious. So, yeah, it's a good – they've been some good guys that have come through here to cheer for it. It's nice.
Final question.
Okay.
We go deep sometimes, and we're going to go deep now. What do you prefer, a chocolate shake or a vanilla shake?
Ooh, because I'm not a sweet tooth, but – when I'm craving it, chocolate.
Oh,
no, wrong answer.
That's okay. Why do you say chocolate?
It's a once in a blue moon when that's what I want. I'm like, ooh, I'm craving something sweet. I need a bite of chocolate. I want chocolate. I don't hate vanilla. It's just the chocolate's the craving.
Chocolate's too overpowering. Vanilla has nuances. like my game, nuanced. Michelle, it's always a joy. We're hitting the heart out because you're going to go out party tonight. You might even get a new tattoo. Who knows?
Good Lord willing. I wish I was going to party.
Great to see you again.
You too, sir. This is awesome. I love this.
Thank you. And I'll, as I told you, you're a regular. We'll have you back again. And I always enjoy hearing your voice.
Thank you.
Now watch me say goodbye to the young people.
Okay.
That's our show, young people. Remember, we'll see you next time. And I'm proud of you. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.